Current State on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. In the second half of his presidency, Barack Obama has been flexing his muscles on environmental regulations. The president has proposed measures that would significantly cut carbon emissions, one of the main contributors to climate change. But the administration isn't just worried about air pollution and climate change. They've also been thinking about water. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency recently finalized a rule that would limit pollution into streams and wetlands that are upstream of major waterways. Farmers, developers, and other industry groups have characterized the rule as a land grab. They say it could add significant red tape and time delays to projects. But environmentalists say the rule adds much-needed protections for Michigan's waterways and closes loopholes for polluters. 2 weeks ago, we heard from Laura Campbell at the Michigan Farm Bureau about their opposition to the new rule. Here to give us a look at the other side of the debate is Margie Armstrong, an organizer with Clean Water Action Michigan. Welcome back to Current State, Margie.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
I want to start with what's been at the center of the debate over this rule, and that is whether this is an expansion of the EPA's authority, or if it clarifies power that the agency already had under the Clean Water Act. What do you think?
Yeah, this rule is a definitional rule, so it really is working to provide clarification. And in fact, even fewer bodies of water will be protected under this new rule than were protected before 2001, before we had those confusing court decisions.
How is it this will end up with fewer bodies of water under its jurisdiction?
Just based on the process, the comment process, there were over a million public comments submitted to EPA. They took all of those into consideration. 87% were in support. And what this new rule does is it more clearly protects the drinking water sources for 117 million Americans that are fed by these headwater, small streams, including those that just flow seasonally.
Now, before the EPA issued this rule, a lot of environmental groups said the Supreme Court cases from the mid-2000s had opened up loopholes for people or businesses polluting smaller streams or wetlands. What loopholes were those? What loopholes do you think existed?
So the original rule just didn't have the clear definitions of what was considered a water of the United States. That's how those loopholes opened up. So we're talking about the ephemeral streams, the headwater streams, the adjacent wetlands. All of these water bodies affect seasonally flowing downstream waters. We know that all of our waters are connected. EPA did an exhaustive review of more than 1,200 peer review publications to ensure that this rule was based on the best available science, and really just, making those clarifications and an understanding that, even fifth graders have all of our waters are connected, and what happens upstream has a big impact downstream.
I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago we spoke with Laura Campbell from the Michigan Farm Bureau, which opposes the new rule. She says one of the problems with the new rule is that its definitions are simply too broad. I'd like to play a clip from her interview and then get your response. Here she is.
They have a very unclear definition of what is a tributary, which is now considered a water of the United States. They say anything with a bed, bank, and ordinary high water mark. But if you look at the sort of erosional features that might come across a field, it could be up to the individual interpretation of some field agent as to whether or not that is a tributary, a regulated waterway, or just an erosional feature that appeared that spring across a field.
Okay, so she asserts that this could open up farmers and other landowners to really subjective rulings because the rule is too vague. What do you think?
I have two comments on that. One, I just want to note that this rule does not add any additional permitting requirements to agriculture. There's no additional permitting requirements for pesticide and fertilizer application. All of the agricultural exemptions are still in place, and in fact, I think there's even a little bit more. And then secondly, I wanted to note I'm sorry. So again, with these There's no exemptions, and even less bodies of water are included than were when the Clean Water Act was originally in place and before 2001. And I also wanted to note that Michigan is really unique in that we're one of two states that already enact some Clean Water Act programs on our own. And in a comment to the EPA from the MDEQ director, he said that the proposed rule will not significantly impact Michigan. So we already do a lot of our own work through the state, so there won't be a whole lot of changes in that way.
We're talking with Margie Armstrong. She's an organizer with the environmental group Clean Water Action in Michigan. We're talking about the impact of the EPA's newly finalized Waters of the U.S. rule. I want to revisit this idea, though. You've said it here twice here, that there will actually be fewer bodies of water under the jurisdiction of the EPA after this rule than before. I'm under the impression that this adds some number of I think you referred to them as ephemeral bodies of water. Why would that not add up to more bodies of water under the jurisdiction of the EPA?
Sure. So these seasonal streams, these adjacent wetlands, the ephemeral streams, that was all under the original intent when the Clean Water Act was signed into law in 1972. It was just sort of assumed, and then we had these court decisions that really challenged what those definitions were, and because they weren't clearly in place, we ended up with confusion and actually thousands of Clean Water Act lawsuits that could not be put forward. So we have water bodies being polluted around the country that polluters are not being held accountable for because of the precedent that was put in place with those two court decisions.
You referred a minute ago to the state's programs, and Michigan is in an interesting position with regard to the new rule because the state has delegated authority from the EPA to administer its own wetland regulation programs. How will the rule impact the state's programs?
Well, like I mentioned, not significantly. It will give more solid criteria for the state to look at, but Michigan does a great job of implementing this program as it is. We understand that all of our waters are connected, so what happens upstream affects downstream waters. We understand the importance of maintaining consistency among water pollution programs throughout the nation, because like I said, you know, what happens in the next state over can have an impact on our state. And we need these federal backstops. We do a great job in Michigan, but we need to have these federal regulations in place.
But under the new rule, Margie, who will determine whether or not a waterway is protected? Is this going to be, could this be a state person or will it be a federal official?
You know, I don't know if I have the answer to that. My thought is that they would work together to determine, if there is a body of water in question, that EPA and the state of Michigan would pool their resources and come to a determination.
When Laura Campbell, the agricultural ecology manager for the Michigan Farm Bureau, was here, she suggested that the best thing to do would be to scrap the rule and start from scratch. In your opinion, what would the consequences be of a move like that?
Well, I think it would just be a waste of time and resources because, like I said, EPA went through an exhaustive process to get the facts, to produce their scientific report on, connectivity of streams and rivers. And again, we had over 1 million public comments submitted. Over 40,000 came from Michigan. And from our members, they were all positive. 87% of the 1 million comments were in support of the rule. I think that's a pretty clear call for what we want to see as Americans.
We have about 30 seconds. I quickly want to run by you, though, that the State House and Senate here in Michigan have passed resolutions opposing the rule. The U.S. House has also passed legislation that would prevent implementation of it. What's the likelihood that this rule's going to be able to do what it's supposed to do, given the challenges at both the state and national level?
Sure. Sure. While we see that pushback, we have seen a lot of support. Many of our elected officials in Michigan have signed on to letters in support of the rule. We had a resolution passed here in Southeast Michigan by the Macomb County Commission in support of the rule. So we'll keep fighting any pushback because this is good for Americans. We had 1 in 3 Americans whose water supplies were unprotected, and now they are because of this rule.
Margie Armstrong is a program coordinator for Michigan Clean Water Action. We've been talking about the EPA's new clean water rule and the reaction it's generating among environmentalists. Thank you, Margie.
Thanks.